my commercials out of the way. And so we got to get this done. But Luke chapter number 15, I really believe God would have us go this direction. I've been meditating on this for the last couple of days about what to do. And there's so many avenues I could take. I could go missions. I could do so many different things. And I just feel like the Lord is just really, and I was meditating on this before I even come out here, really, and just praying over this message. And I think I just last night and then this morning, and then I woke up in the middle of the night, was thinking about it. So I feel like God would have us to go this direction. Do want you to have an open heart and an open ear to the Word of God here today. Luke chapter number 15. I'm just going to read just a few verses, and matter of fact, I'm probably going to read quite a few verses, so I'm not going to have you stand, so I'll have you sit right there, but I want to look at a portion of this story. Luke 15, verse number 11 says this. Everybody there, say amen.
Amen.
All righty. It says, and he says, a certain man had two sons. Younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, and put on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field and came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. I want to look at a thought, if God would help me here this morning. I'm the receiving Father, the receiving Father. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we thank you again just today for a tremendous morning already. Lord, I believe we could walk out of here all this morning and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Now, Lord, as we come to you, we give you glory for what you've done in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for what you've done in these last few days. But Lord, we realize this is a new service and a new time. Lord, there's folks that have joined us here this morning. God, I do not know the needs of your people. I do not know where they're at spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally. Lord, I'm glad we serve a God that knows all things. And so, Lord, I'm asking that you would do a work upon the hearts of each individual here this morning. Lord, I'm asking that you would just show yourself mighty, make yourself real to them. And Lord, we do pray if there's any lost among us here this morning. God, I'd pray that boy or girl, mom or dad, or aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, if they're lost, I'm praying that this would be that morning that they would be birthed into the family of God. And Lord, if there's any far from you, Lord, I do realize in the days that we're living that we are probably going to be preaching to some that are here meant physically, but spiritually, Lord, they're out in the world. So, Lord, I'm praying that you draw them back to you today. And God, that they'd come back to the Father's house. Now, again, we do love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor and we adore you. And Lord, I'd ask that you'd touch me just one more time. Help me, I pray. And we'll praise you for what you do. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Luke 15, there's a lot of preaching in this chapter. There's the coin, the sheep. There's a lot of things going on in this, and there's some great truths out of each one of these stories. We see as an introduction to where we're at, and I've got a series that I preach on the prodigal son, the father, and the brother. But I want to look at the father today, if God will help me, and to get us caught up where we're going, that there was in the portion of this scripture, there was that younger son that came to his dad and says, "Dad, give me what is coming to me." And can I say, it wasn't a sin for his son to ask his dad for that at all in the Middle Eastern culture of that day. Matter of fact, a lot of times the dad could pay out monthly installments of what was to go to that child. He could give it to him in monthly installments. He could have willed it to him at the day that he died. And so it's not a sin for what he did, for asking. But what the sin was is how he wanted it, and the reason that he wanted it for is to go out and waste it in righteous living. So he got that which was coming to him, and can I say that what will sin will do to you, the Bible says in verse 13, not many days after. Can I say that sin and the devil, he does not play around. He does not procrastinate, and can I say that he will always try to show you a prettier picture on the other side of the fence. You ever heard the saying that the grass is greener on the other side? But what the devil doesn't tell you is that it's always over a septic tank. Can I say that he'll show you a pretty picture, but what's on the other side is nothing but agony, heartache, and pain. I've watched a lot of lives destroyed because of sin, and I won't go into a lot of that, but I have watched so many people who have went out into the world and give their life to the world and then end up in wreck and ruin. And may I say that your life affects others down the road. We get this us for and no more attitude, and it's what I can enjoy and what I can have at this time. But really what you got to understand is what it affects down the road and who it affects down the road. But can I say the prodigal, he took his substance, and the Bible says he wasted it with righteous living. In other words, he just took his money is what that righteous living means. He took his money and threw it in the air and allowed the wind just to blow it whichever way that it went. So he went out there, and the Bible tells us that he wasted unrighteous living, and it doesn't tell us how he spent that. The prodigal brother tells us that he wasted on harlots, but the Bible never really says how he did do that. Can I say he went out there, and then as long as he had money, and may I say, you young folks, be very careful. As long as you have money, cars, you'll have friends. But the minute that it runs out, you will have no friends. You'll find that out when you get a car. I got my first car. I had a lot of friends until the thing broke down. And they say, "Call me when you get it fixed." Oh, I will. I will. I promise you. You'll be the last one. But can I say that sin will take you to a land? And he went down to that far country, and he ended up joining that far country. And he ended up doing a job that he was never meant to do, because it was considered to the Jews, the pigs was a dirty animal. But can I say the devil does not care how far he takes you down, as long as he takes you down. He took this boy down to that far country, and he ended up in the pig slop and the pig swine. And the Bible says he would have fain filled his belly with the pigs, with the husk that the pigs did eat. In other words, he meditated on that. He got so low that he was thinking about eating what the pigs ate in that day. And may I say, that's exactly where he wants to take you. The devil does. And then he says that I perish with hunger. He will take you. He'll strip you of everything that you are, and he'll strip you of everything that you have. The devil never adds to your life, but the devil always takes away from your life. A lot of things that have been taken away from me because of my home upbringing of my daddy. I come from a split home. My daddy was an alcoholic. But I never can go back and get that speech at the age of 16 because my daddy wasn't around. There's a lot of things that alcohol robbed me of a dad that I can't go back and get. It never adds to anything. It always takes away. And can I say that's what Satan wants to do? He wants to slowly take it away from you. But can I say I'm glad there's an answer to this. Because we see here, and I'm skipping over a lot, but we see here, number one, we see the receiving father. We see here that we come down in verse number 17. And it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Can I say, number one, if you're going to get help from God, you're going to have to realize, you're going to have that realization of sin. He came to himself. Can I say, when you are living out in sin, you're a saved individual, you're living beneath your privileges. There is that living amongst the privileges that God has for you. But if you think sin's going to add to you, sin takes away. And what you're doing is that you're lowering your privileges of life of being a child of God. And that's what that prodigal did. Can I say his misfortune? He got to thinking about just the hired servants. And I thought that's pretty interesting in this story. Why didn't he think about mama? Why didn't he think about his dad having plenty enough to eat? He said just the hired servants. He said he got to thinking about his misfortune. And then we see his reason and why he wanted to come back. He said they have bread enough and to spare. And can I tell you, God does have enough and to spare. Always. But look at the famine. He says he perished with hunger. Can I tell you what a famine will do or what sin will do? Somebody says, what does sin do? I'm gonna read this the way one writer said it. He says, but what has sin done for an individual with a question mark? I thought it was pretty good. It says it has broken his health. It's poisoned his mind. Would you not agree in this generation that the minds of our young folks are being poisoned with the society of this day? Can I say it's weakened his moral life? Can I say our moral life in America has been weakened, not strengthened? In the days we're living. There's a lot of preaching here. I got to move on. Can I say he was pulled into death. He was taken from his friends. It ruined his home. It made him an outcast. And can I say in countless other instances, it has sent him to prisons or the gallows when he went to the pig pen. But can I say that sin will damn your soul to hell? But can I say if you're going to get any help, there has to be that realization of sin. But secondly, there has to be that confession of sin. He comes down in verse number 18. He says, I will rise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Can I say, before you ever are going to get any help, you're going to have to confess I have sinned. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Confession, one writer said, confession is the key that will unlock many stubborn hearts. It's the salve that will soften many hardened wills. It will heal all manner of church troubles and all kind of domestic difficulties. Husbands, would y'all not agree that it's hard to say I'm sorry? Say amen, sister. Thank you. She was nodding. She might as well just go ahead and say it. But when we do wrong, men don't like to eat crow. One preacher that's passed away, Sammy Allen, he always said, if you're going to eat crow, eat it while it's warm. It always goes down better. Can I say that sometimes when you go up, and I had to apologize to my daughter the other day, I had something that happened and I handled it just right. And I explained to her my position, but I also explained to her my wrong. And I said, I want you to know Daddy is sorry. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, but can I say it is the right thing to do? Getting right in our churches, can I tell you, will solve a lot of problems in our churches today. There's a lot of things going on in our churches. We've got coming to the altar right, we just don't have them coming across the pews right. Going to somebody and say, can I say, I am sorry. I've had to do that a few times in my life because I have a foot and mouth disease. And sometimes I shove both of them in there at one time because my mind speaks it and my tongue says, I'll take it over from here. Amen. Can I say sometimes we just got to say our sorry? Can I say there's that confession? But can I say some people won't get right because of the changeless past? Can I say sometimes we can't, and may I say this, we can't undo our past. I mean, you look at the moon, we've only seen half of the moon. There is another half. The world sees this half, but God, and only God, sees the other half. And I say there's a lot of times that we come and we can't change who we are and what we did in the past. I was a mean individual in high school. I know y'all can't believe that. But I was somewhat of a bully. I picked on people. Just the way I was. And when God called me to preach and I had a church in Candler, North Carolina, the pastor wanted me to come preach a watch night service. And boy, I was just a young preacher, so I was excited about that. So we went to the church and I went in and I started to look around and I started to recognize some faces of people that I picked on in school. And I told my wife, I said, "This one's going to be fun." She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Do you see that young girl over there?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "We went to school together." And I says, "I picked on her relentlessly." I said, "Do you see that boy over there?" She said, "Yeah, I'm kidding. I'm being serious. It was a bad night." I looked, I said, "Do you see that boy over there?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, I didn't like him. And so I picked on him. And I said, "I don't know how they're going to take me when I get up behind that pulpit and start preaching. Because they may remember that's the boy." But I'll never forget after the service, all those that I picked on come to me and said, "We are so glad that God saved you and called you to preach." Amen. Can I say there's a lot of folks who won't get right because of the past. I read this the other day that a woman came to her pastor and would come and admitted her sin of tattling. And the preacher required her to bring a basket of small seeds. And then he sent her to a hillside and he said, "When you get up on that hillside," he